We're up to Yeshaya, Perek Ches, the 11th Shir. Vayomer Hashem Eli. And Hashem said to me, Kach lecha giloyon gadol. Yeshaya was told to take a large scroll, uchsov alav becheret enosh, and to write on it in a clear script the following words, L'maher sholol, plunder hastens. Very soon there's going to be sholol, the people will be plundering and property will be left abandoned and will be free for the taking. There'll be sholol. Choshbaz, the spoil quickens, the troops, the enemy will be taking the spoils. Before this, in Perek Zion, we had a discussion of two different nevuos, two different prophecies that were going to be happening. On one hand, Ahaz, who was the king in Yehuda, was terrified, he and his nation, that Aram and the 10 tribes, Pekach and Ritzin, were coming to attack. And Yeshaya was sent with a nevuah to speak to Ahaz and to tell him that he shouldn't be afraid, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, Te'ozev Ho'adama Asher Atokotz, the land that has you terrified, the land of Aram and the land of the 10 tribes will be abandoned. Meaning those nations will be conquered and they'll be exiled, you have nothing to be afraid of. There was also a nevuah that the king of Ashur would come to Yerushalayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would protect them. There would initially be destruction, but there would be a remnant, and the remnant that would remain would have plenty, and there would be prosperity, and there would be a remnant. Klal Yisrael will not be destroyed, Yerushalayim will not be captured, in the end they'll be safe, those in Yerushalayim. Now the Navi is saying when this is going to happen. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, said to Yeshaya, this nevuah is going to happen soon. Maher sholol choshbaz, the plunder hastens, the spoil quickens, it would be happening shortly. Other Mephoshim learn that there's actually two different parts to this. The promise that Aram and the 10 tribes would be eliminated and they wouldn't be a threat anymore, that was going to be soon. Maher sholol choshbaz, the punishment against those nations would happen soon. But the good times, the fact that that there would be prosperity and there would be success, the real miracle of Immanuel, that Hashem would be with them and they would see the Hashkocha protecting them, that was really going to be in the times of Chizkiyah, which would be later. The Malba mentions that perhaps the last Psukim and Pasuk Zion are all sort of a parenthetical statement. Aram and the 10 tribes are going to be eliminated and they'll no longer come to attack. You don't have to be afraid of them. And in the meantime, there'll be destruction and the Yehuda will suffer to a certain extent, but they'll be safe. The eventual punishment, the eventual reward, though, will be later, in the times of Chizkiyahu. Right now is Maher Sholol Choshbaz, the punishment would come now, but the reward and the good that would happen would be later on in the times of Chizkiyahu. And this should be written, Uchsov alav becheret enosh. It should be written in a clear script. Rashi learns becheret enosh is like an enosh kolshu. Enosh means somebody who's not a prominent person. Vafilo eno chacham. It could be somebody who's not a wise man, who's not used to the written word. Perhaps when he writes, he scrolls it in large letters. So take a kiloyon gadol, a large scroll, a large, either a scroll or a tablet, the Targum says, Luach Rav, take a tablet, a large scroll, and write on it these four words, but it's Becheret Enosh, like somebody who's not accustomed to writing, like he would write, that it should stand out, big, bold letters, his fine motor skills are not developed. So write it Becheret Enosh. The following words, L'maher Sholol Choshbaz. It could also be, the Mitzuda says, that sometimes a Navi was told to do something, and it didn't mean that he should actually do it in this world. It means that he should envision it, and he should think about it, and he should prophetically have whatever experience and whatever thoughts, but it didn't mean that he should actually do it. Hear what the Navi is saying. What Hashem tells him is, Uchsov alav becheret enosh. He was told to actually write it down, becheret enosh, in the script that a person would use. In other words, an actual writing, to actually write these words. The Ramban says at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, an important rule that's something to keep in mind for the whole Tanakh, and he writes especially for Sefer Bereishis, but it applies elsewhere also. And that is that Avram Avinu was told where to travel and where to go, and every stop that Avram and the Avos made foreshadowed and actually brought into effect what would happen later in history. In fact, Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah, the book of creation. Meaning, obviously, the physical world was created with everything in it. But more than just the physical creation of the world, Hashem created history in Sefer Bereishis. Whatever the Avos did actually created history. For example, when Avram came to Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Makom Shechem. He came to the place Shechem. And then the Pasuk says, Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz. The Kanani, the Goyim, were still in the land, and Avram came to Shechem. And Rashi mentions he came to Shechem, to Davin, that the children of Yaakov would capture that city. And the Ramban says the actual allusion is even stronger than, there's more to add to that. Shechem was the first city they came to, and they came at a time that the Goyim were there, meaning this was not the time to capture Eretz Yisrael. Not at the time, this was a prophetic vision and action for what was going to happen. But it was going to happen in the time that the Kanani Oz Ba'aretz, before we would get Eretz Yisrael, there would be a visit and they would go to Shechem. And Shechem was the one city that was captured before the time of entering Eretz Yisrael. And that was captured by the children of Yaakov. So the first stop he went, the first place in Eretz Yisrael, which would take place through the descendants of the Avos, through Shimon and Levi, was going to be to take Shechem when Klal Yisrael when the non-Jews were in the land. Avram went down to Mitzrayim because there was a famine. That foretold that Klal Yisrael would go down to Mitzrayim because of a famine. And they took Sarah. That would show that the Mitzrim were going to say that the women could stay alive. They would take the women for themselves, just kill the boys. And eventually Paro sent Avram up with a tremendous wealth. There would be Yitzias Mitzrayim and would come out. So Avram Avinu was told every step of the way where he would go. The next step he went to the, right after it says he came to Shechem, he went outside, Bein Beisel Uvein Ha'ai, he went outside the city Ai. Ai was already captured, was the first city they captured in a military battle. Yericho, miraculously, the wall sank and they conquered the city. But the first war where there was a strategy and a regular, seeming to be Bederech HaTeva battle was Ai. They had ambushes outside the city, and Avram Avinu was told the next stop is Ai. That's already going to be after, that's going to be the next conquering in Eretz Yisrael. But every step that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov did has a relevance in it, and it actually, it's the Sefer Yetzirah, it's in the book of creation, because it created what's going to happen to us. Like Chazal, a lot of times learn out from what happened to Yaakov Avinu at the very end, the third of the Avos. What happened to Yaakov will happen to Klal Yisrael at this point in history. Yaakov dealt with Esav. Esav becomes Edom, the Roman Empire, which is the Golus we're now suffering under. The Navi can say something as a prophecy. And if the people change their ways and people do tshuva, it's sometimes canceled because the people have changed. The Nevuah was said for people who are not good. And once they do tshuva, it can be changed. And there's always a chance to stop the punishment. When the Navi is told to make an action, it becomes embedded in concrete. It becomes a reality. In other words, in reality, the Navi made this a fact. It's already happened. And of course, his minor act that happened is merely foreshadowing a major event that's going to happen. It's an idea that we touch on over here, and it comes up a number of times in Yeshaya, and it comes up elsewhere in Nach. But here Yeshaya had to somehow, he had to write Uchsovolov, write on this Giloyon Gadol, write on this scroll, the words, Lemaher Sholol Choshbaz. And once he wrote the word, the written word, it exists. It's a fact. It's happening. It's not just the word that could be changed, but this is a final decree. We'll see also the naming of the children we had before. We had the Alma, the maiden, would have a child called Emmanuel. And we're going to see in a moment other names given. When the child is given a name and it's given to represent what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, so it has an effect. So he was told to write Becheret Enosh, as the Mitzuda says, B'maisa mamish v'lo b'mara ha'nevuah levad. This is not just a prophetic vision, but he was told to actually do the writing Becheret Enosh in a clear script, or it could be a script written by an Enosh, a simple person, L'maher Sholol Choshbaz, that the plunder hastens, the spoil quickens, the punishment is coming soon to the 10 tribes and to Aram. It could be also, it was a large scroll, it was Giloyon Gadol, and he only wrote 4 words. There's a large empty space. Because besides mentioning the plunder and the punishment coming, it's going to be a time that there will be just a few words on the large scroll representing a few Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The land will be basically exiled and destroyed, and we'll see Yerushalayim remains. But the land, it's Yerushalayim as a sea in the middle of the ocean, a little island in the middle of the sea of destruction. Everything else has been destroyed. It's like on the large scroll. And another possibility is Becheret can mean to like engrave and to make a hieroglyphic. Uchsovolov Becheret Enosh, that Yeshaya was told to somehow depict on the scroll, make figures, portray and show in actuality how the enemy could come and punish the other enemies, how Asher would come eventually and exile Aram and the 10 tribes. So he actually drew a battle scene. It was on a Giloyon Gadol on this large scroll, and he drew a battle scene with different armies to portray this fact. V'yo'idoli edim ne'monim. And Yeshaya says, I appointed edim ne'monim, trustworthy witnesses, Es Uriah HaKohen ve'es Zechariah ben Yeverech Yohu. I appointed Uriah HaKohen and Zechariah, the son of Yeverech Yohu. Now the question is, who are these people? If they were people that were alive in the times of Yeshaya, it would be strange because we don't know who they are. We don't find other people by this name, excluding one we'll talk about in a moment, but we don't find trustworthy witnesses living in the times of Yeshaya with the name Uri and Zechariah. And somehow it seems like he wrote this down. He's supposed to get witnesses to show that he said it. They'll sign, they'll probably put on the date, and they'll sign that they heard Yeshaya say this in advance, and that the Nevuah should be recorded, that it was foretold what Hashem would cause to happen. But we don't know who these people are, who the Zechariah and who the Uriah are. There was a Zechariah that lived about 100 years earlier. Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol. And he was killed. In fact, it's mentioned in Eicha, Im Yehoreg B'mikdash Hashem Kohen V'Navi, that he spoke out against the people that were willing to worship the King Yehoash. and the Novi, the Kohen Zechariah was killed. But that was 100 years earlier. So that can't be the Zechariah. There was an Uriah in the times of Yeshaya, in the times of Ahaz, and it's mentioned in Malachi's Perek Tes Zion, and over there it mentions that there was somebody by the name of Uriah, and when the king Ahaz went after Tiglas Pileser, the king of Ashur, defeated Aram, so Ahaz went to greet him in Pasuk Yud. And it says, Vayaras HaMizbeach Asher B'Damasek, this Uriah, Ahaz went, and he had seen the altar that was in Damasek. Vayishlach HaMelech Ahaz El Uriah HaKohen, Ahaz sent to Uriah the Kohen, Estemus HaMizbeach, he sent him a model of the Mizbeach, Vestavniso, and the plans, L'chol Maseyu, with all the workings of the Mizbeach, he sent him a model of the altar that was in Damascus. But even Uriah HaKohen es HaMizbeach, and Uriah HaKohen built the Mizbeach, k'chol asher sholach HaMelech Ahaz midamesek, like the whole plan that the king Ahaz had sent from Damesek, that's what Uriah HaKohen did, and by the time Ahaz returned to Yerushalayim, there was this altar built, modeled on the one in Damesek. Now that can't be the Uriah we're talking about either. Here we're talking about Edim Nemonim, trustworthy witnesses, good people. It can't be that Uriah who made an altar based on the Avodah Zarah altar. The Gemara learns in Makkos. It's a Gemara we hear frequently because whenever somebody makes a siyum on Maseches Makkos, this is the last piece of Gemara. And the Gemara says, it discusses Rabbi Akiva, and the other Tanoim were walking in the area of the Har HaBayis, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elaz ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, were walking with Rabbi Akiva. And it says, Kivin Shigiyu, the last piece of Gemara in Makkos, Kivin Shigiyu l'Har HaBayis, once they got to the Temple Mount, Ro Shul Shiyotz Mibes Kodesh HaKadoshim, they saw a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Yischil Haim Boichim, and they began crying. Rabbi Akiva Mitzachik, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amrlo, they said to Rabbi Akiva, Mimnei Ma'atam Mitzachik, how can you laugh? Amrlo Hems, Rabbi Akiva answered, Mimnei Ma'atam Boichim, why are you crying? Amrlo, they said to him, what do you mean, why are we crying? We saw a fox come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mogam Shekosebo Vazor HaKorev Yumas, a place that's so holy that if somebody was a Zor, a stranger, if you weren't a Kohen, anybody who comes where he's not allowed to go, dies. And Vachshev Shualim Holchuba Nivka, we shouldn't cry. The fox is running in such a holy place. Amar Lahem Shrib Yekiva answered, L'kachani Mitzachek, that is why I'm laughing. Dichsiv, because it says, and the Gemara brings our Pasuk, V'yidoli Eidim Nemonim, I appointed for myself trustworthy witnesses. Es Uriah Kohen veZechariah ben Yeverech Yohu. V'chimayin in Uriah Eitzel Zechariah. What do these two people have to do in common? As we've discussed, we don't find elsewhere there are trustworthy witnesses in this time period. Yeshaya is mentioning two people that don't seem to live in his era. And as the Gemara says, they didn't even live at the same time. Uriah was B'Mikdash Rishon. Uriah lived at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. He lived after the times of Yeshaya. And Zechariah was B'Mikdash Sheni. Zechariah was in the second Beis HaMikdash. So what are these two witnesses? He's appointing witnesses that weren't alive yet. Uriah lived 120 years later. And Zechariah, who was after the Churban at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, was 260 years later. They didn't live in the same lifespan, and certainly not in the times of Yeshaya. So the Gemara says, "Ela tola akosiv nevuasa shel Zechariah v'nevuasa shel Uriah." What the pasuk is telling you, Yeshaya is saying, "I'm appointing trustworthy witnesses. I want you to look at these two witnesses as a group and as a pair." There was Be'ur Yaksiv, by Uriah it said, Lachem Biglachem Tzion Sodeh Techarash. Because of your actions, Tzion will be plowed like a field. Now, the truth is, Uriah never really said, we don't find those exact words mentioned in the Novi. But Micha said those words. Micha the Novi, and it says in Malachim that Uriah prophesied the destruction just like Micha had. So we find those words by Micha, that Micha prophesied there would be a destruction, and we know that Uriah said a nevuah similar to Micha, meaning Uriah spoke out that there's going to be a destruction. If the people in Yehuda don't do tshuva, there'll be a churban. That's Uriah's nevuah. And Zechariah ksivot yeshvu zakenim zakenos berchovos Yerushalayim, Zechariah said, the time will yet come, there'll be old men and old women in the streets of Yerushalayim, and they'll have their cane from living such a long, full life that when you reach a certain age, it's a privilege that you've reached the age to carry a cane. I mean, you should all be gesund and healthy. But the normal thing is when a person reaches a certain age, it's a sign of he's reached that level in life. But there'll be old people in the streets of Yerushalayim. And Achlo Niskaim Nevoasa Shel Uriah Hayisim Misyore Shlo Tiskaim Nevoasa Shel Zechariah. Before the Nevoah of the destruction happened, I didn't see any of the prophecies happening. It was like, it wasn't happening. Maybe it would be somehow canceled, or maybe it wouldn't happen, or maybe not. We couldn't look forward to the Nechama yet. There was no destruction. I didn't see that the consolation would yet come. But now Rabbi Akiva said, I see that the destruction happened. Uriah said there would be a destruction. It was foretold by Yeshaya that this Uriah was going to be one of the trustworthy witnesses, and it happened. So what's the next step? The next witness is Biyadua Shenevosa Shel Zechariah Miskayemes. The two witnesses go together, Uriah and Zechariah. So if you see the destruction happened, I know that the next Nevuah to be fulfilled is the consolation, the good Nevuah of Zechariah, that there will be better times. B'loshan Azeh Amrulo, so the Chachomim said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva Nicham Tanu, Akiva Nicham Tanu. Rabbi Akiva, you've comforted us. Rabbi Akiva, you've comforted us. Sometimes the very fact that destruction happened, as terrible as it is, so you know, the word Nevuah is that there would be punishments. And we know that, we know from the Torah, it's all been foretold, there's going to be punishments and Yisurim brought on Klal Yisrael, and it's happened. So the Nevuah of consolation, we can be assured, will also happen. They go together. V'aidali Eidim Ne'monim. These are the trustworthy witnesses. Now, Yeshaya lived before both of these Nevi'im. It could be what Yeshaya is saying is, I'm coming with a Nevuah of punishment. The 10 tribes are going to be exiled. And I'm coming with a report that there will be a reward, and Chizkiyo is going to be a tzaddik, and the land will be good, and everyone will devote themselves to Torah, and Hashem will be with us. And it seems to be like Hashem is prophesizing punishment, and he's prophesizing consolation, but they go together. I'm going to show you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are nevuahs that Hashem will foretell a punishment, and he'll foretell a consolation, just like Uriah Kohen and Zechariah ben Yeverachyo, just like the two of them, one predicted punishment and one Nechama. So too, I am saying two nevuahs that seem to be conflicting, but it's all coming from Hashem. There'll be a punishment here and a consolation there. So he appointed these Eidim Nemonim, these trustworthy witnesses, Uriah Kohen and Zechariah ben Yeverech Yohu. And one other pshat mentioned in the Meforshim is that could be this was a large Giloyon Gadol, a large scroll. And he only wrote on it four words, but he left a lot of room afterwards. This scroll was preserved for many, many years. And later on, Uriah would take that scroll and write in it his Nevuah, his prophecy about the destruction. And there was room on the scroll for Zechariah. to write years after that about the consolation that there'll yet be Zakenim and Zakenos in the streets of Yerushalayim. So it could be that's why it was a large scroll. For Ekrav El Hanaviya, Pasuk Gimel. So Yeshaya says, for Ekrav El Hanaviya, I came close to the Neviya, the prophetess, meaning he had relations, he lived together with her. Either she's called Neviya simply because she was the wife of the Navi. It was his wife. Or it could be, we know that his wife, according to those who explained, that Alma, the maiden, that was going to become pregnant and going to have a child, and his mother would call him Immanuel, if that was the wife of Yeshaya, obviously his wife had nevuah, had prophecy. So she was in her own right a nevuah, not just the wife of a Navi, but she in her own merit was a nevuah. Batar v'telet bein, and she became pregnant and she had a son. Vayomer Hashem Eli, and Hashem said to me, Kroshimo, call his name, Maher Sholol Choshbaz. That same four words, plunder hastens, spoil quickens. There was a discussion in the earlier Perek, in Perek Zion, who this Alma was, who the maiden was. Some Mefarshim learned it was the wife of Ochaz, meaning Ochaz had a son who was already born, who was Chizkiyahu, who was going to be a great, great tzaddik. But Ochaz had another wife, or he took another wife, who was a young maiden, and this maiden would have a child, and they'd call him Immanuel, because in the life of this child, as the child would grow up, Chizkiyahu would be the king, and Klal Yisrael would serve Hashem, and they would see that Hashem is with them. Other Mefarshim learned that the Alma, the maiden, was Yeshaya's own wife. Now, if it was his own wife, one possibility is, as Rashi learns, Rashi says, and Vatelet Bain, it's the child himself that his mother was going to call Immanuel. His father was going to call something else. Yeshaya would call him Maher Sholol Choshbaz, that as far as the 10 tribes go, there's going to be plundering, and there's going to be spoils, and the punishment is coming. And his mother would give him a name referring to what would happen to Yehuda, that Immanuel Yehuda would see that Hashem is with them. Because this all happened in the fourth year of Ochaz, this prophecy, and the king in the 10 tribes, Pekach, was killed that year. So there wasn't enough time for her to have one child and then have another child and then predict the 10 tribes would be the Pekach would be killed and the threat would be gone, because that all happened in one year. It would have to be it's one child with two names. I guess the father and mother both call them different names. I hear your question. Maybe they were twins. I didn't say any of the Mefarshim mentioned it. I assume because the Pasuk says Vatelet Bain. She had a son. It seems to be if there would have been twins, it would have mentioned it. So it seems to be she had one child. But there is one other possibility. Some of Forsham learned, Hineha Alma Hora, the maiden is pregnant. It's already happened. She's already expecting. If that would be the case, it could be she was in the ninth month, possibly. It was at the end of the pregnancy. She would give birth, and the child would be called Immanuel. And then afterwards, Vo'ekrav El Hanaviya, Yeshaya had another child with her. And this second child was called Maher Sholol Choshbaz. Ki b'terem yeda hanar, before this nar knows, kro avi v'imi, to call my father and my mother, the first words the child speaks, father, mother, before he knows how to say that, Yisa eschel damesek, they'll carry away, whoever does it, Yisa, he'll take away the chel damesek, the wealth of damesek, ve'eshon, and the spoils of Shomron, it'll all be brought lifnei Melech Ashur, before the king of Ashur. When this was told to Ochaz, that the Alma, the maiden, would have a child, at that point it says, before the child would know Mos Baro Vachar Batov, to despise evil and to choose good. By Ochaz was such a wicked person. Hashem said, before you know it, before the child knows what's right and wrong, things will be good already, and people will know what's right and wrong. The child will grow up, and he will know what's right, and he'll have a correct sense of values, not like you, Ochaz. But over here, when it's spoken to Yeshaya, it gives a different description just before the child knows anything, before he can call father and mother, Yisos Chel Damesek Ve'ishlal Shomron, the wealth of Damesek and the spoils of Shomron will be carried away Lifnei Malach Ashur, before the king of Ashur. It could be the double phrase, Maher Sholol, that the plunder hastens, Choshbaz, spoil quickens, is referring to two different things. One phrase is referring to Damesek, they'll take away the wealth of Damesek. The other one is referring to the 10 tribes will be exiled, and eventually they'll be exiled in the times of Chizkiyoh, and right now in the times of Ochoz, they'll be conquered, and they'll be subservient to Ashur. So they'll take away the wealth of Damesek. Could be wealth. Damesek was wealthier than the 10 tribes. What they take from Damesek will be called the wealth, and the spoils of Shomron will be brought Lifnei Malach Ashur, before the king of Ashur. There'll be a victory, and they'll probably have a victory parade, and all of that will be brought before the king of Ashur. By Yosef Hashem, Daber Eli Od Lamor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke further to me, saying, Yan ki mo'as ha'om hazeh, because this people has rejected Esmei HaShiloach, the waters of Shiloach ha'olchim la'ad, that flow very slowly and gently. There's a spring outside Yerushalayim called the Gichon spring. And the waters there were used to water whatever fields, they were used for irrigation. It was called the Shiloach, like the Sholeach Maim al Pnei Chutzos, to irrigate the surrounding land. So it was called the Shiloach. The waters of Shiloach came from this spring. And when the king was anointed, it was a good simon. The Gemara says a simon to make a sign what will be. The Gemara discusses and increases, I think it's Daf Vav. It mentions at the beginning of the year, a person should have certain vegetables, certain foods in front of him as a simon that, you know, you have dates, Yitamu Sonenu, our enemies should be ended, and whatever the foods show that Yirbuzichu Yoseinu will have more merits. A person should make a simon, a sign, for what he would like the future to hold. The king was anointed by the spring. And that would be a sign that just like the water flows and continues flowing, his monarchy should continue, like the spring that continues to flow. So they would anoint the king by the water. So the kings of the house of David were anointed by the spring that was outside Yerushalayim, the waters of Shiloach. The people despised that the waters of the Shiloach. Haholchim la'at. There wasn't too much water coming out. And they flowed, and it flowed slowly. It wasn't a raging river. You can go see the Gichon and the Shiloach nowadays. It's a little water. There's like a canal. You can go through one of the tunnels where the water flows. It doesn't reach higher than, I don't think, your waist, your knees in most places. It's a small stream of water. Umisoses ritzin uven remalyo. And the people rejoice with ritzin, who is the king of Aram, and ben remalyo, who was this Pekah, who was the king of the 10 tribes. The waters of Shiloach are going to signify the way Malchus Beis David is, the way the royal house of David is. And just like the river flows and the monarchy should continue, the truth is those gentle, slowly flowing waters are going to seem to be a description of the king Chizkiyoh. Chizkiyoh didn't go for any of the fanfare and the pomp and ceremony of a king. He lived a very simple, simple life. Rashi brings down, they despise Chizkiyoh in the middle of the Rashi, Al Shera'uhu Shaloha Yabocher B'Shulchan Malachim. Chizkiyoh wasn't interested in the royal banquets. Ela Oichel Litra Yerek. He used to eat vegetables, a liter of vegetables, Ba'osik B'Torah. And he learned. He had a very simple meal. Sounds like a vegetarian diet. But he was Isaac, he ate vegetables, and he was Isaac Batira. Alov Nemar, and about him, the Pasuk is referring Tzadik Oichel Sova Nafsho. He lived by that credo that a Tzadik eats just to fill himself up. He's not interested in necessarily enjoyment of the food, or certainly not in overeating. He eats to be satiated. He ate, and that was it. And then he was Isaac Batira. Vero Pekach ben Remalia, and the people saw the king Pekach, the king of the 10 tribes, Oichel Arboin Sa Gozolos, and he had 40 Sa'a of fowl, of birds, maybe it was ducks, who knows what kind of fancy Gozolos, the birds, the pigeons, that Bekinuach Suda for his dessert. He had the fanciest foods for his dessert, and you can imagine what the main course was. And the people spoke against Chizkio. And they said, is that a leader? Is this a king? That's not a king. We would like to have a king that we could be proud of. When they were alive, that was a king. Now the truth is, in the times of Chizkio, Ritzin and Pekach were both gone. They were both killed already. With all that, the glorious kingdom, they both ended up being killed. But they were no longer alive. But the people felt some type of pride in their king. It almost sounds like, you know, in England they have the monarchy, and the people are proud of the fact they have somebody who acts in the way of a royal person, and They're proud, and there's a certain nostalgia, and they want to have a king that has the royal pomp and ceremony. And Chizkio wasn't that way. Chizkio was like the gentle, easygoing waters of the Shiloach. He didn't demand anything from the people. He wasn't interested in a life of wealth and luxury. And the people despised. They despised those waters of the Shiloach, Hahochim La'at, that flow slowly and gently. Umisos, and their enjoyment, their excitement, was if only they could have somebody like a Ritzin, Uben Ramayo, a king like that. Right now we're going to see why Hashem brought Ashur, why Hashem brought the king of Ashur to Yerushalayim. He was going to be destroyed anyways. As he brought the whole king of Ashur and he wiped out the whole country, and then he was destroyed outside Yerushalayim. And part of the lesson was that the people didn't want the simple, humble monarchy of a Chizkio HaMelech. They wanted something more exciting and more glamorous. V'lochein, therefore, Hinei Hashem, behold Hashem will be Mala Aleim, Hashem will bring up against them, Esmei Hanor, He's going to bring the waters of the river, Hoatsumim, the mighty one, the mighty river waters, Vaharabim, and the abundant ones. The Shiloach had little water, and it would flow gently. Now we're going to have a river that has mighty, forceful waters, and there's an abundant supply. The quality is going to be forceful. It's going to be Esmelech Ashur. The quality of the waters, they're going to be mighty ones, the king of Ashur. And the quantity is going to be Veskol Kvodo, all of his honor, meaning all of his troops. Sancheiriv is going to come with a tremendous army. And what you think is glorious and what it's coming with honor, we'll see what happens when the honor of Ashur comes. V'olal kol afikov, and the waters will rise above all of the channels. V'olach al kol gedosov, and it'll overflow the banks. And they'll now have the king of Ashur. Afikov is the channels where the water goes out. In other words, the water won't be blocked, and it'll go through all the Afikov, through the outlets, and the water will be flowing out. And even though the water is not being blocked, and it keeps on flowing, but still, V'holach al kol gedosa, will overflow the banks, it'll just increase a tremendous amount. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chof Vav, it gives a little picture of what was happening in this time of Chizkio. So until now we've mentioned how the 10 tribes are obviously opposed to Chizkiyahu, and how Chizkiyahu served Hashem, and he had the whole country get involved in learning Torah, and in serving Hashem, and putting their bitachon in Hashem. But the Gemara says actually Chizkiyahu had internal dissenters that he had to deal with. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Chavov, Shevna, one of the people at that time, a prominent person in the government, but his name was Shevna. And this Shevna, Havadarish Bitlesa Ravavasa, he would darshan with 10,000s. And there was like 130,000 Talmidim he had. Chizkiyahu Havadarish Bechadsar Ravavasa. And Chizkiyahu, when he darshaned, only had 110,000. This Shevna had a larger yeshiva. And as we've seen in those days, usually very often it was only the Talmud Chacham that commanded the respect of the people, and the opposition, and sometimes the greatest Rishoyim, knew a lot of Torah, but they weren't the Gedolim, they weren't the Tzaddikim, but they had amassed a lot of knowledge, and for whatever character faults, they ended up turning against the Gedolim. But this Shevna had a large yeshiva, and he had a larger yeshiva than Chizkiyahu. Ki asa Sancheiriv, and when Sancheiriv came, v'tzor alod Yerushalayim, and he laid siege against Yerushalayim, kosav Shevna piska. Shevna wrote a note. Shot a begira, and he attached the note to the arrow, to an arrow, and he shot the arrow, and the note said as follows. This was a note, an arrow shot toward the camp of Sancheiriv. His arrow said, Shevna v'siyato hishlimu. Shevna and his group are ready to make peace. We're going to surrender, we'll make peace with you. Chizkiyahu v'siyato lo hishlimu. Chizkiyahu and his group are not making peace. And as you should know, we're going to surrender, we're going to get out of the city, we're going to join you, but you should know your enemies are Chizkiyahu and his. But I have a large group of backers and we're with you. Chizkiyahu is going to tell the people not to be afraid and to put the bitachon in Hashem, and then the miracle will happen. But this is before the miracle. Shenemar kinei orishoyim yidruchun keshes. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that it says, you'll find the rishoyim shoot the arrow. They press the arrow to make it fly. Press the bow to shoot the arrow. Konenu chitzam al yeser. They set their arrow up on the quiver to shoot it. And here you find the example of the Rosh shot with the arrow to convey this message. Habakom istafi Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was afraid. Omri said, Dilma chas v'sholem, nate daite dekud shebrichu basaruba. Maybe I felt that I was doing the right thing, and I there were prophecies that I should put my bitachon in Hashem, but looking at it, maybe Hashem is going to go with the roiv. There's a rule in general when you have a group of chachamim, and there's a dispute, we follow the majority opinion, assuming, of course, everyone's of basically an equal stature, if they're one body of chachamim, so we follow the majority. Kiven deruba mimtsari, inuma nami mimtsari. If most of the roiv are ready to be given over and are ready to go over with Sancheiriv, maybe that means we should all surrender and give up. That's where the majority opinion is. Bonovi v'amar lo. The Novi came and told him, Lo somrun kesher. We'll see this shortly. Don't speak of a cabal, of a conspiracy. L'chol asher yomar ha'amazeh kosher. To what the people speak of as a conspiracy. Everyone's talking of conniving and working against Chizkiyahu to go to the enemy. But that's not considered a conspiracy, a mutiny. It has no, there's no bond to it. Klomer, kesher reshoim hu, v'kesher reshoim einu min haminyan. A group of reshoim who band together is not called a group. Chizkiyahu was opposed by the Shevna. And there were people who backed him. And they were Moas Ha'amazeis Mei Shiloach. They despised the waters of Shiloach, the leadership of a Chizkiyahu, who ate his vegetables and he was Isaac and Torah, the slow gentle flowing waters. And their excitement, their enthusiasm, they rejoiced with Ritzin and the son of Ramayo, the Pekach, the leader of the 10 tribes. Therefore, Hashem is going to bring up the waters of the river, the abundant, the mighty waters and the abundant waters, Esmelech Ashur, the king of Ashur. Ashur was by the river Pras, by the Euphrates, which is a mighty river. And their kingship, kings were anointed by the river Pras. So again, their kingdom, their monarchy was symbolized by the mighty river. V'olah al-kol afikov, and it'll rise in all the channels. V'olah al-kol gedosav, and it'll overflow the banks. V'cholaf bi-Yehuda, it will pass through Yehuda. Shotaf, flooding. V'avar, and then passing. Atzavar yagia, it's going to reach the neck. It seems to be, as the Malbim says, there were a few stages. First, v'cholaf, the rivers of Ashur would pass through. It passed through Yehuda without making any imprint, without creating its route. It would just pass through the country. And as the waters continued, shotaf, then already it already does something, and it washes away, and it floods, and it brings destruction. And then va'avar, it continues, and it already becomes, it passes through on a permanent basis. When Sancheirif came, there were different steps along the way that the punishment came. First, Sancheirif came, and he conquered fortified cities. That's like passing through the country. Then Shotaf, he flooded it. And we'll see Shevna, the next level is, Shevna was killed, and his group of men were no longer with him. That whole group of Shevna, the opposition to Chizkio, disbanded and was eliminated. There was going to be Shotaf, they would be flooded, and they would be destroyed. And Ovar, the next step is, through the country, and Sancheirif is going to conquer one place after another until he reaches Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is going to be the only city that remains. At Savar Yagian, he's going to reach the neck, the strength or the life source, referring to Beis Hamikdash. It says when Yosef met Binyamin, Vayipol al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochi Vayevk, he fell on the neck of Binyamin, and he cried. And Chazal say Yosef cried because he envisioned the Beis Hamikdash, the two Batei Mikdash, the two temples built in the land of Binyamin that would be destroyed. Savorech Migdal Hashem, and Shir HaShirim, the Beis Hamikdash is described as a tower of ivory. The Beis Hamikdash is like the fortress, like the neck. Or it could be the Beis HaMikdash is the head, and the tzavar, the neck, means the area near the head, the area outside Yerushalayim. But at tzavar yagia, that Sancheirif will reach the Beis HaMikdash. V'hoya mutos kenofov, and the wings spread, as far as the wings reach, the mutos kenofov, how far are the wings going to reach? Melo rochav artzecha, it's going to reach the whole width of the country. Immanuel, referring again, Klal Yisrael at that point, Immanuel, that Hashem is with us. But Sancheirif's army is going to reach the whole width of the land. It doesn't mention, by the way, the length. The length is north to south, but he's coming from the 10 tribes, and he conquers the whole area up to Yerushalayim, and that's it. The south of the country he didn't get to. But Yerushalayim was the main place in the south. But the whole width, from east to west, was totally conquered by Sancheirif. He filled up the whole land. V'hoya mutos kenofov. Rashi mentions that mutos kenofov, there's a small joint, a perikoton, at the end of the wing. And it's called muta. The simple meaning is it means the wingspan will cover the whole land. But mutos kenofov, Rashi says, is a pshat. Mutos kenofov, that little tip, the end of the wing, will cover the whole country. And the Medrash says that this little piece of the wing, the muta, is 1/60th of the total wing. The muto's kenafav, 1/60th of Sanherib's army, will be enough to cover the whole country, to reach everything. And that's only 1/60th of his army. So his army is going to conquer everything, and it could be Atzavar Yagia, could mean till the whole nation is in danger. It could mean the Beis Hamikdash, it could mean the nation. Imagine somebody going in the through a mighty river. The river is flooding the country and the waters have reached somebody's neck. Kivo Mayim Anofesh. And they've reached Atzavar Yagia, this mighty river has reached the neck. And Klal Yisrael feels that they're about to be destroyed. V'hoya mutos kenofov, and the wingspan will reach Shemelo Rochav Artzacha, the whole width of your land, Immanuel. But Klal Yisrael should know that even though Sancheirav is conquering the whole thing, but in the midst of the destruction, you should know that Hashem is with you. Or it could be saying Immanuel, that Hashem is with us, that don't worry, even though Sancheirav is doing what he's doing, but eventually he'll be destroyed. You should know that Hashem will be with us and Sancheirav will be killed. And it could be a third thing, it's that those last words, Imanu Kael, Hashem is with us, is like Yeshaya's own words. He was told, it's almost like saying, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, that even though Sancheirav is going to cover the whole country, but Imanu Kael, we have to remember, we have to put our bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we look forward to the Yeshua of Hashem. Ro'u Amim. It could mean nations row, become reyim, become friends, band together, develop a united front. V'chotu. But you show you're just going to be destroyed. You'll be broken yourself. V'hazinu kol mercha ke'aretz. And all the far places of the land should listen. Hisazru, even if you gird yourself, v'chotu, you're going to be destroyed. Hisazru, if you gird yourself and you ready yourself for battle, V'chotu, you're going to be destroyed. Yeshaya is as if speaking to the nations that they will not succeed in defeating Eretz Yisrael. Row could also mean, it could mean, row is like to rowing b'shevet barzel. There's a pasuk to smash them with an iron rod. To rowing can mean to break. Row, nations, go ahead and break and do what you can do in Eretz Yisrael. But you should know, v'chotu, you yourselves will end up being destroyed. V'hazinu, listen. It could also mean v'hazinu, like v'yosei tia l'cho al azeinecha. Azeinecha can mean your weapons. When the Jewish army went to war, they were told to have a shovel, that when they had to use the facilities, they could cover it up with a shovel, dig and cover it up. Azeinecha means have a shovel with your weapons. V'hazinu means arm yourselves. Kol mercha ke'aretz. You can have goyim coming from the ends of the earth. But he's azru, even though you gird yourself and you prepare for battle, v'chotu, you're just going to be broken. He's azru, prepare for battle, v'chotu, but you're going to be broken. Utsu eitza v'sufar. Go ahead, utsu eitza. Plan a conspiracy. Take counsel together. V'sufar, but it's going to be nullified. Dabru dovar, speak your peace. Say what you may, v'lo yakum, but it won't stand, ki manu kael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. In order to come and do battle, you need a few things. First of all, as we know from Sancheirav, Sancheirav had a propaganda machine. He had somebody come and he called out to the people that were in the walls of Yerushalayim, and they were surrounded and they were starving, and he called out to them and he said, why, you know that if you stay where you are, you're going to be destroyed. Surrender and I'll take you to a land that's as good as Eretz Yisrael. And don't listen to Chizkiyo. Nobody, none of the idols were able to stop me. And I've conquered everything. And he spoke that boastful talk that there's nothing that can withstand the onslaught of Sancheirav. There was the dibur, the talk, the propaganda. There's the eitzah of the battle strategy, exactly how to attack and how to win the war. And then even after you have the strategy, you have to have courageous warriors, the people who are going to use their gevura and their courage. The Novi says, Hisazru v'chotu, Hisazru v'chotu. Though they gird themselves and they prepare for war. But they're just going to be broken. They won't, when it comes to it, they won't be able to show their courage in battle. Utsu Eitzo v'sufar. And their strategy, their counsel, their conspiracy, all those plans will be canceled. And Dabru Dovar, the taunting and the propaganda and their talk to demoralize the people, lo yakum, it won't remain, because Hashem is with us. It could also be that to win the war, first they'll want to gather everyone together and have a united army. Ro'u Amim, even if you join together as friends with a joint purpose, but v'chotu, you'll be broken. And even if you have the army all together and all the people, the next important thing is to have good weapons. So he's Azru. Even if you put on your weapons, Hisazru can mean to gird yourself with your weapons. But that won't help. Bachotu will be broken. And then as far as the strategy goes, Utsu Eitzu V'sufar, though you have your counsel and your plans, V'sufar will all be nullified. Kimonu Kale, because Hashem is with us. And this is a pasuk that's something that Klal Yisrael has to take with them as we go through Golus. This is a message originally said by Yeshaya in his times, but it's something to remember that Utsu Eitzo V'sufar, though the nations have conspiracy and they plot and they have their plans against Klal Yisrael, V'sufar, they'll all be annulled. Dabru Dovar, they talk and they talk, but V'lo Yokum, it won't stand, it won't hold. Kimonu Kale, because Hashem is with us. That again, that name, Imonu Kale, as the name of that child, to remember that Hashem is with us and they'll be saved. Step right.